This week, what we didn't see on All My Children, Ryan goes to the animal shelter and gets Emma a new cat.
Social services gives little aid to Jesse Hubbard, chief of police, before the custody hearing.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm, me either.
Crystal is taken to the hospital after Kobe bashes her in the head.
Adam is taken to a hospital somewhere because something very dire is wrong with him.
We just don't know what it is.
We don't know where he is.
Or how we got there.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
I don't like coming out here to you people about a show that we grew up with, that we really, truly, in our hearts love, and just bitching and moaning about it. It's not fun for me.
That's their fault.
Rest of your life, disaster will happen. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. Back with Sheridan, Crane, Sullivan, Sinclair.
Lopez Fitzgerald, that was her married name.
But you don't accidentally fall into somebody's vagina the way Adam did with Kendall. And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
We watch so you don't have to. I will recap this dumbass storyline. Oh, man, we should start charging. I'm telling you right now. Look like he is mourning. His hair is perfect. His Nivea Gold lotion.
Is Nivea Gold.
I mean, his little hair. Perfectly shaved. Perfect wardrobe. His thongs are on.
His thongs are on.
It's true.
It's a thong, Cameron Allison. It was a thong. Own up to it.
Own up. That shit was a thong. To the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending March 27, 2009. It's happened already. I didn't even say nothing. What did I do?
No, not nothing. I was just thinking of something.
Oh, no. What were you thinking of?
No. It had nothing to do with the podcast. I'm sorry. I just thought of something funny.
Were you thinking about our daytime confidential interview?
No.
Which you haven't even listened to yet.
She's shouting me out. I haven't had time. I've been really busy last week, but I'm gonna listen to it, I promise.
That's not
Jamie
true.
And Luke.
He was shy about it, just like I was.
No, I'm not
I was
shy.
Scared to listen I'm to not, it.
I wasn't scared. I just haven't had time. Girl, I watch 90,000 hours of TV a week.
You watch more hours of television in a week than there actually are hours in the week.
I have a hard time listening to our podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
I always
God.
Listen to it. I listen to it like one or two times, three times, sometimes.
Well, I gotta say, I actually have some good things to say about All My Children last week.
Wait a second. No, wait a second. You gotta hold on. I gotta play the music.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's a miracle.
No, everybody's always saying that we never have. There were moments now. Don't go crazy. I'm not saying episodes or days. I'm saying moments. There were moments last week that I actually found myself amused and actually not
entertained,
wanting,
if you
entertained
will.
And not wanting to hurl. That doesn't mean
you didn't
that,
have that little taste of bile in your throat.
No, actually, I did.
Sometimes
I did get that by the end of the week. I got like this knot in my stomach that I still have because I've been. I was telling me we got to stop talking before we do the
we
podcast because we always mess everything up. We had the only discussion. It was like a 2.5 hour conversation last night.
Because we couldn't do the podcast. We normally record it over the weekend, and we're recording a little late this week.
Yeah, well, that's because you went to a Mom Mendoza's retirement party.
Mom Mendoza retired,
and Ashley was the life of the party. She was hanging from the chandelier at the Ramada Inn,
yeah,
causing
right.
all craziness.
Yeah, Carlos. We did a top 10 list of why Mama Mendoza retired.
She was doing the time warp from Rocky Horror Show for them. Oh, the only way Ashley could.
Let's just say I know how to entertain.
She was very entertaining.
It's one of the things I'm decent at.
From what I hear,
one of
the
few things.
From what I hear, the party was a success.
It was a lot of fun. It was nice. It was really nice for my mama.
Good. I'm glad. Mama Mendoza deserves some rest. Is she going to go back to PR now and get some rest and relaxation?
No, she's here for a little bit. She don't want to be away from her little baby girl.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to tell you, like, my postman, he's Puerto Rican. He's been the postman in my building for like thousands and thousands of years. He retired, and I miss him so much. And he doesn't want to go back to it. He went to Puerto Rico for months to stay, but he told me, he goes, I'm a New Yorker. Nah, I love New York. That's it.
I just figured out what all my children is missing.
What?
A postman.
There is no postman.
There should be a postman. There should be a UPS guy.
A UPS guy, like FedEx guy.
Because, like, you know, we have certain guys that come on our I agree with you on that. You know what I'm saying? That'd be kind of fun.
I agree with that. You know, but there's some characters that
we
are regular.
We have a white guy named Joe. He's a nice guy.
The hospital staff is regulars. I keep seeing the same people in the hospital.
Yeah, but they don't have names and personalities. It's like when the guy comes to my door, I'm like, hey, Joe, what's up?
That nurse has a name and a personality, and I want her gone. I cannot stand that. What is her, Nurse Gail?
Oh, she is annoying the hell out of me.
And I don't mean that in a good way. I don't mean that in a love-hate way.
But I don't think it's her fault necessarily.
No, it is her fault. She's a horrible actress. She overplays everything. She annoys the hell out of me.
You know things are bad on the show when we start picking on the U5s.
They gave the wrong actress that role. Because you know what it is that annoys me is that she overplays the fact. Like, she, you talk about the twirling of the mustache. Yeah. She's like, I mean, okay, like, what is she like? I hate to say it, but is she sucking his I mean, because she is so on his shit.
She might be.
She is on his jock strap. I swear, I don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like the actress. I don't like the character. I'm over David having power over everybody in Pine Valley. I hated the fact that he had the judge in his pocket because he was blackmailing the judge this week.
How many times have we seen this stupid-ass story?
David is not omnipotent, all right? It needs to stop. It's ridiculous.
Don't you think?
Even Adam in his heyday did not have the kind of power that David seems to whirl around. David's new name is Darkseid. For those of you who read DC Comics, because Norrin had an interview at DC Comics. And Norrin, I read that on the blog and I was very happy for you, but I'm very mad at DC for not hiring you on the spot because they need you. I love my DC Comics, but I was like so excited when Norrin said that he had an interview with him, and then I'm like, what? Could they not hire him?
He's gonna get some. He's gonna get picked up.
I love my Norrin's artwork.
He's too talented, and he's selling artwork, people. So go to norrinsisland.com.
Yes, and if you
buy his personalized artwork, send him a photo, and he will send you the most amazing illustration.
Or you want your illustration of your favorite soap star? He'll do that for you too.
Yes,
I have my Kane women. I have my Kane women framed in my room.
I love it so much.
I love Norrin's artwork.
He's great.
So wait, there's a lot of stuff going on date. Well, oh, I didn't get to finish my story. Why I was getting that knot in my stomach. The knot in my stomach is because as it gets closer to the appearance of the new Liza Colby, I'm getting very nervous.
Oh, yes.
I'm getting very nervous to the point that I don't think I'm going to be able to watch all my children because, it's not against Jamie Lunar. I love Jamie. What is it? Jamie Lunar.
Yeah.
I love Jamie Lunar. I love her to death. You don't understand. I was a big Savannah fan. She played Peyton on Savannah. I love Savannah.
I never heard of it. Just gave me a look for
that. She doesn't know anything. She don't watch anything. Did you see any of the new shows that premiered last week?
No. Because I told you some of them were going to suck, and I was right on some of them.
I got the agree. She did call it out in the motherhood.
Thank you.
And Casey Shameless agreed with me. I was like watching in the motherhood.
Corny.
And I was, you know what? It wasn't even corny, Ashley. It just wasn't even that. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. That's worse. Corny is one thing, but you weren't even funny. Like, first of all, Megan Mullally, I love Megan Mullally to death, but she was playing diet version of Karen Walker. Karen Walker hadn't been such a Karen Walker light. That's what she was playing. And that's bad as an actress. Because as an actor and actress, you know, you take on a different role. It's your chance to showcase yourself, showing a different persona,
Can I tell you something?
That's lazy of her.
You know what we would have said if she did that on All My Children?
What?
We would have said she was phoning it in.
Yeah. It was not good. And then I don't know. Everybody likes that Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't care for her.
Hollywood has a hard-on for Cheryl Hines. That's the problem.
I don't understand. Like, and then the other girl, nobody even knows.
Just like Hollywood has a hard-on for Megan from American Idol. Nobody else does.
Oh, wait. We'll get on that in a minute. But wait. And then the other girl, nobody even knows. But meanwhile, this was a show that was webisodes, right, on the web with Chelsea Handler, who we all know I love.
Hysterical.
Leah Remini, who I love, Miss Leah Remini, and Jenny McCartney, who we both love.
So she was on Oprah.
You got three people that are names that people will come and watch, and instead you get an unknown, some HBO reject, and Megan Mullally phoning it in. I don't get it.
I happen to love Jenny McCarthy. I watched her the other week on Oprah. She was like one of the guest Friday fill-ins. She replaced that nasty Gayle King that needs a muzzle. I was so happy. I actually said
not that a muzzle.
Yes, she does. Gail King horses, needs
she
a needs
that thing. She looks more like a horse, not a dog.
She needs a horse. I sent a note to my Facebook friend Mark Casuelos because I love me some Mark Casuelos.
I miss Mark and Kelly.
They were never getting them back ever.
Then there's no way they're coming back. But no matter how horrible the storyline was, you had to love your Haley and Mateo. Even when they were in those Lost in Space tubes. Megan and Travis were in those Lost in Space tubes.
Well, I love Mark Casuelos. I sent him a note because he's my Facebook friend now, along with Miss Judy Bly Wilson. Hi, Judy.
Judy Blight Wilson.
That's my Facebook friend. Don't insult my Facebook friend.
Judy Blight Wilson, if you're listening, we renamed you Blight. Like Blight on humanity.
Oh, no. Listen. I sent a message to Mark Casuelos telling him good luck on the Oprah Friday show and that they should put a muzzle on that Gail King. And they answered, Mark must have talked to somebody because that week we had Jenny McCarthy and she was beautiful, gorgeous, funny, smart, everything, the whole package. She's awesome. Hollywood is stupid. She's married to Jim Carrey. Oh, not married. She's with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, but if they were Latin, they'd be considered married.
That's true.
They've already put their years in.
That's true.
Called common law, husband and wife in Puerto Rico.
That's right.
Like Jimmy Smith and Juana de Jesus.
That's as good as a marriage certificate, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so what the hell?
Wait.
What?
Do you got any connections on The View?
No, why?
Because if you got that poll that you were able to get Jenny McCartney with through Mark Casuelos on Oprah,
that was all me.
I want you to get me on The View because I think that's what The View is missing. I think Barbara Walters has it wrong. Barbara Walters needs a Latin gay man on her show.
I agree.
I think that's what The View is missing.
You know what they had once?
They need to slap that Elizabeth Hackle-Sacka-Sacka-Sacka-Sacka off the show and put me on.
I agree, but you know what they had
once? Me and Whoopi be funny together.
They had Mario, what's his name, that comedian?
No, he's not, no.
I agree, he's not. He was funny though. He did a good job.
No.
But he is no Jordan Hudson.
No, he is no. You know what? I'm gonna get off on this because I have to get this off my chest. This is another thing I wanna. I'm really upset about the way gays are portrayed on TV and daytime and all that stuff. I mean, As the World Turns is so popular with their nuke storyline, and I'm not feeling the nuke storyline. And I'll tell you why.
I don't watch.
And it's part of what I don't like about what they've done with Binks and All My Children, and why I wish that One Night to Live, with two queens helming One Night to Live, why they haven't done a gay storyline
is
beyond me.
Yeah, that's true.
Because One Night to Live will probably do it right. And I'm going to tell you why.
They should make that Gigi gay.
This is
she already looks like a queen.
She looks like a drag queen.
She looks like a drag queen.
she looks like she'd be performing at Barracuda on Tuesday nights. You don't know what Barracuda is, girl.
Sure.
It's a gay bar that has drag queens performing in New York City.
But anyway, what he said.
She looks like a tranny, I swear.
I agree.
Lisa
Rinna tranny.
Yeah, Lisa Rinna tranny. Oh, that's good.
That's good,
she's a tranny who wants to look like Lisa Rinna.
It's perfect.
Oh, I can't stand Gigi. But anyway, this is the problem. It's like, because As World Turns has this storyline that everybody's really loving. And don't get me wrong, I love me.
It's still going well?
Yeah. No, I've never thought it was going well. I'm going to tell you why.
But because everyone else seems to.
Not everybody. The problem with the gay storyline is that, you know, again, this goes back to what we were saying about why Jesse and Angie was so popular in the 80s when Agnes Nixon wrote for them, is that you wrote a storyline. It was a story and the characters were black. You need to write a story, and it happens to be that the characters are gay. And As the World Turns is way too, every week, it's some kind of gay
public service announcement
where you're beating people over the head to the point that, honestly, those queens on As the World Turns are obnoxious. Luke, when he gets on his high horse, it's like, you know what? And I understand when you live in this big city and you live in a small town, there is a difference. You know, those of us who live in the city, it's not like you know, we're
you don't have to fly that, a banner every day.
Yeah, you don't need to like you don't feel that pressure. You don't feel like as much as a small town. But still, the point that I'm trying to make is that it comes down to the quality of the story that you're telling, and you want people to accept and understand, then you got to stop harping on the differences and show the similarities. And I think that's the problem with As World Turns.
Hallelujah. Okay? I couldn't have said it better myself.
It's like, all right, Luke, we know you're gay. Blah, 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 blah. Gay rights. Blah, blah. All right, get over yourself already.
If you don't want to be perceived as different, don't act different.
Yeah, don't get on your high horse so much. And that's my thing. Like I think some of the thing that was so beautiful about Bianca and the way Agnes Nixon wrote it. Because, you know, Agnes Nixon came back to All My Children to write Bianca's coming out storyline.
I forgot about that.
It came from a place of humanity.
Right.
It wasn't about Bianca taking some political. It was about this girl who is coming to terms with the fact that she likes women and there's nothing wrong with that. And she wants her mother. I still remember when she told Erica, see me for who I am. That was a beautiful thing. And that's different than Luke getting on his high horse, screaming about every little. I mean, As a Watcher, it's like every week is some kind of like. I just can't even deal with it anymore. And I wish One Life to Live would do something real about
they
it.
They could do, and because they would do a great job. Everything they do is so realistic. We're not even more than 15 minutes into this podcast. We're talking about One Life to Live already.
Well, there that was me because so I wanted to get on. Because I'm really. Every time I get on Daytime Canada, I'm reading about As a World Turns just won the GLAAD Award, and I'm like, I don't feel like when I watch As a World Turns, I'm not feeling. It. I'm not feeling Luke and Noah. I don't feel it at all. I don't feel the issues or anything. I don't feel that it's written in a good, positive way. I think it's actually kind of insulting and degrading. The way that I feel about the way they handled Reese and
Bianca. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, I was the first person when I heard that Guiding Light was doing this Olivia Natalia thing. Mm-hmm. I was the first person that was like, oh, here we go. Trying to get on a bandwagon about gay people to get the ratings to go up. And the thing that was so beautiful about what happened with Guiding Light was that it wasn't a story about these two women being lesbians. It was a story about two people who, in time, grew together and fell in love. They became a family and fell in love. And it works. It really works. The storyline, it's become a beautiful storyline. And Olivia's like questioning her sexuality. She is feeling so much for this woman. Right. And she doesn't know how to like tell her. And there are people like that. I've always heard that there are people that it's not even about being bisexual. It's like you meet a person, regardless of what's between their legs, that just gets you. Right. That you, and I think that this is, and this gets on my other topic that I want to get on, why the soaps suck right now, is that we are forgetting why we watch soaps.
Why?
Romance.
Romance.
There's no romance left on soap operas.
No romance.
There's no romance. There's no. I mean,
it's fake romance.
Jenny and Greg?
It's fake.
Remember Jenny and
it's
Greg?
It's fake. It's fake honeymoons in fake Hawaii with tiki lanterns and two people we don't even care about making love to black music.
Well, I'll tell you this. I found the cure for Rancid.
What?
You know that song?
Our Dead Behind the Eyes friend, Randy?
You know that song from Sound of Music?
The Hills Are Alive?
No. What do you do about the problem? What is it? What do you do with a problem like Maria?
Oh, I don't remember.
That's the song. You don't remember Sound of Music?
I've never seen Sound of Music.
So what do you do with a problem? How the hell did you never see Sound of Music?
I've never seen it. Puerto Rican families do not watch Sound of Music. I don't give a crap what you say.
Excuse me. My parents were born in Puerto Rico and they came over here as teenagers and they grew up and they showed me Sound of Music and I learned Sound of Music.
Well, they're crazy.
You're crazy. I can't believe you never see Sound of Music. You are so uncouth.
Listen. Wait. I did see Rent for the first time.
Again, that's another thing. I can't believe it took you 50 years to see Rent.
I saw a high school version.
And she saw a high school version of it in the Boondocks.
Fantastic.
In the Boondocks.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Respected it so much.
Well, you would have respected
honest
it even more if you...
These kids are just doing from
yeah,
the heart.
Yeah, you would have respected
it
even more Broadway.
It doesn't matter that I didn't understand the whole first half of the show. That doesn't matter.
That's because they're kids.
They're children.
And they're from the Boondocks.
But I'm going to tell you, the lead in the version I saw, her voice was 1,000 times better than that nasty Megan from American Idol.
All right, see, I was trying to get back to All My Children.
Can you detect the theme here?
I was trying to get back to All My Children.
All right, fine, we're 18 minutes in. We got to go to All My Children.
Wait,
you're right.
Let's talk about American Idol for 1 second, because I did watch this week. I know I said I wasn't going to watch, but I did watch it. I was going to tell you why.
He's going to keep watching. He's so full
of crap. No, I'm not. Motown. I love me Motown. And it was Motown week.
It was
so I wanted to see.
Not only was it Motown, it was smoky.
Yes.
My father tunes in because it was smoky.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to.
Smokey
Robinson.
And
that's why I tuned in. Only because it was Motown. If I didn't see the commercial saying that it was Motown, I wouldn't have tuned in.
He's full of beans.
No. I'm over the show. I told you. And this is why. And then if I had any desire.
Have you canceled it from your DVR?
Yeah. I would. No. It was never on my DVR.
I told you.
It was never on my DVR. But what I'm saying is, right, that like if I had any doubt that I should still watch it, this week showed me why I shouldn't. And I'm going to tell you why. The fact that Megan, who gave the worst performance yet of anybody in Motown, and let alone the whole week of the show, she was awful. I can't even remember what song she sang. All I know is that she butchered it. And she wasn't even in the bottom two. But the Justin Timberlake guy who rocked it and freaked it out was in the bottom two.
So he either was this on show too is early
rigged,
in the show.
Either this show is rigged.
He was on too early in the show.
Or America's all crazy and they got dead.
That ain't
down.
True. If you notice the criticism they gave Megan, even Simon said it was awful.
Yeah, but yet she wasn't in the bottom two, but Justin Timberlake was.
Because she looked hot in a dress.
She, all right, first of all, she did not look hot. And that Tourette's Syndrome dance that she keeps doing annoys the hell out of me.
Tourette's Syndrome dance, but she's a beautiful girl.
And I'm going to tell you who was the best this week. And it wasn't my Danny Corky, who I love my Danny Corky.
It was Allison Hirahita.
That girl can sing. She shouldn't even be in this contest. She should have a record contract.
I agree with you.
She, for 16 years old, girl sings with such... That girl has been through pain in her life because when she sings, it's coming from her soul. And let me tell you something. When she sang Papa Was a Rolling Stone, I was literally doing a Paula Abdul, jumping up and down like Paula, acting like an idiot. Paula Abdul's another idiot. This show needs to get canceled. What was Simon doing writing on her face?
Canceled. Come on.
I know
now.
It's not
going to
get canceled because it's the number one show. But come on. Did that boy, did he got to write on her face?
Yes.
All right. Getting back to All My Children. But my Chris Allen, he was hot. Too bad he's straight.
You're going to keep watching for Chris so Allen. No, Matt, I'm not. And Allison Hirahita.
Not Matt. Who Matt? Who's
Matt? He's the piano player that almost got voted off that you said was so great.
No, I don't like him. I thought he shouldn't have been in the bottom two.
I love him.
No, I he's okay. But you know,
I would do him.
That Adam guy, that queen, everybody was like, oh, he was so great. He was still screaming for me.
That doesn't
bother
me.
He started out all right, but then he started screaming.
I think he's very talented. He's got a great voice. He just icks me out. There's an ick factor with this man.
I think he should stop doing Patti LaBelle. Only one person can scream and get me, and that's Patti LaBelle. You're not Patti LaBelle.
Oh, sorry for people. I didn't give the scream alert.
I know
sorry
you
want
to be Patti LaBelle, but you're not Patti LaBelle, Adam. So stop it. Stop screaming like a banshee.
Anyways, wish Frankie and Randy would stop effing each other all over the place. That disgusting.
We digress. That was my thing. The problem with Rancid. I think just like a spoonful of sugar will make the medicine go down, all I need to get through Randy's scenes is for Cornelius to be with his shirt off.
Well, that was good.
Let me tell you something. I zoned out on her and I was just watching Cornelius. It was
but
fabulous.
But I couldn't enjoy it. You know why?
I was enjoying
because
it.
Because he was naked. You know why though? This is why I could not enjoy it.
He's been working out. I enjoyed it
delicious.
A lot.
He looked
delicious.
Beautiful.
That was a nice.
Mm-hmm. Here's my problem. He was standing half naked in front of his mother for about 3 hours before he put on a damn shirt. Disgusting.
Yeah, that was icky.
Can I tell you something?
But you know what was more icky?
What?
Was that Angie Dentel's Randy. Oh, I know where your mind was, or I know where your head was. It's like,
you know,
that was gross.
I could enjoy the storyline if it made more sense to me.
I could enjoy the storyline if it was somebody other than Rancid in it.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing. I was telling Ashley, like, I like the whole playful. It was nice to see somebody having fun in Pine Valley for once, and I liked the family thing. But then it kept dawning on me, who the hell is the happy hooker that we're supposed to like her? Like, when did this transition happen that Angie all of a sudden approved and they got a... You know what I mean? Like,
we didn't see it.
Like, this is not a storyline, people.
We didn't see it.
This is not a storyline. This is a blimp, like a beat in a moment of, like... Like, there is not a storyline.
One can only hope she's
going
soon. One can only hope. But the problem I have with it... Hear me out.
I'm hearing.
All right, fine. The problem I have with it is that I suspect... I'm not an African-American person. I'm a Puerto Rican person. I suspect that the rules are somewhat similar in terms of propriety. If I ever stood in front of my mother and father in my man's apartment with his nice shirt or shirt on and naked from the bottom, and he's between my legs kissing me without a shirt, and my mother walked in, I would die, and I would run to the room and I would get dressed. I wouldn't be my mother would not be joking with me about just starting to have sex with my man, even at 24 years old or whatever they are. It just wouldn't happen. There's no sense of like propriety, and I suspect that in a traditional African-American household, there's the same rules of decorum, or else you get this kicked out of you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what would happen to me.
I think that's in every nationality. I think the only people that allow that stuff are like ghetto trailer trash.
No.
Yeah.
You when you were little, you never heard white kids saying, "Nah, ma, give me a break, ma. God damn it, ma. You're pissing me off." My mouth, I used to hear white people saying that to their parents, and my mouth would drop open to the bottom, to like the floor, because if I ever said
yeah, but a Latin ghetto family, that happens in a Latin ghetto family. That happened in my family. My father would have slapped the shit out of me.
Okay, so what you're positing is it's more about class than race.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Exactly. I don't think it has anything to do with race. I think it has to do with the fact that if you're, and I think Angie brought him up right. I think, you know what it is? I think it's the writer's fault.
That's my point is that the Angela I know would not be tolerating that nonsense.
It was nasty.
It was weird. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. He looked good though. My God. Mm-hmm. He just waited too long for me to put on his shirt.
Yeah, I tell you, that's my cure for all my children.
She ignores it. She ignores it. And she gets all nutso about the wedding. Like, I'm supposed to believe this
crap.
His
back looked good. His back looked really good.
You're a trainer. You should know.
I know.
What kind of exercises is he doing, Jordan?
He's obviously doing a lot of core work, a lot of back exercises. That back looks smoking. But you know, to balance the back out, you gotta do some chest. So he's been doing some chest, and those abs look really good.
The abs look good, right?
His abs look good.
His little chest, his little tetitas.
Yeah, he was looking.
No more cutlets for him.
Speaking about brown sugar.
And then Angie starts to get all like into the wet. Like, I don't believe it for a second.
No, I didn't believe it for a second either. I thought it was silly.
And with Randy, and Randy's agreeing with everything she says. And Randy starts to go, I wish I had a mommy to do this with. I really wish I did, but I don't. I always hoped when I was a little girl that I would have something like a mom to share this day with. And this just isn't happening.
And the only reason she said that was because one of the prop people shoved his hand up her ass to make her mouth move.
You know, it was funny because I heard her teeth go. That was funny. That's maybe why that happened. Maybe that's why that happened.
Oh, she's such a ventriloquist dummy.
Then, I mean, I get a little happy when I see Frankie confiding in Jesse about the whole wedding thing and that he's feeling weird about it all. You know, I get happy when I see those little family moments.
Yeah, I like me the Hubbard family, but yeah. I wish Randy wasn't a part of it on Natalia.
Ugh.
That's the one thing that kept irking me, because Natalia was there commenting too. And all I kept thinking mouth. All I kept thinking about was like, it should be Cassie that's there.
Yeah.
That's the sister that he knows.
Yeah, where no one has mentioned her. That's a very astute point.
I don't know. All I know is that I'd rather have Cassie there than Natalia.
I don't like Natalia. She gotta get her nose and everything. Everybody's business. And she knows everything. She's like 82 years old. I thought the child was born, you know, in the last 19 years.
I don't know.
It makes no sense. Randy and Frankie elope. Jesse and Angie show up, and so do Brat and Taylor and Natalia. And it was just so very touching. There were dry eyes all over the house. Not one single tear was shed at this wedding.
No, but didn't Rancid have that one tear that she had from last week? Wasn't that still glued on?
Yeah, they might have glued that on. That was smart. Like,
that's the same tear from last week.
It sure was. And then the end of the week, we have them. They hit some trouble going on their honeymoon.
Oh, but see, that was stupid. You're on your honeymoon, right? And there's a problem. It was like, it's supposed to be like funny classical soap thing where like they went and they like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Of course, we didn't see that though. Like, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is supposed to be a storyline for them, their storyline. They don't show them having problems or anything. All we know is that they come back and then they don't even go back home. Where do they go? To Jesse and Angie's place. Is that where you're going
to
go?
To make out in front of everybody.
Is that where you're going to come with all your luggage and everything?
This is what I don't understand.
You want to bring your luggage home first and then maybe go visit your parents. And not even that, because you're on your honeymoon.
This is what I don't understand.
It made no sense.
This is what I don't understand.
What?
What freaking writer thought it was a good idea to write that they had trouble getting on a plane that we didn't even see and that they give up completely on their honeymoon? Who the freak?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you would go get.
Who gives up on their honeymoon?
Go to New York.
You know,
get a room in New York City.
But not even. You wait till the next day where there's flights available. I mean, you normally have to book these things in advance. There's big penalties.
It's stupid.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's dumb. It was dumb.
I would have respected it more if they made a conscious decision to not have a honeymoon right now because Frankie was going away and they wanted to be with the family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But then they were all over each other and Jesse and Andy's house. That was nasty. And in front of a little A.
In front of a little boy.
In front of little A.
You know, nobody brought that up at the custody hearing that Lil A was living with a prostitute.
Well, he's not living with a prostitute.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know, but they don't know. Nobody knows where he's living. That's another thing. Nobody knows where he's living. Nobody knows. Not even Tad knows where little A is. We'll get into that when we get to that storyline. But that storyline is stupid too.
Then we got some gratuitous Brat and Taylor.
Wait, but yeah, because Brat and Taylor decide that they want to surprise Frankie and Randy. This was a kind of a cute idea, but again, it goes back to what Ashley was saying in the beginning of our like tirade about this. It's like, we're getting to the point where we really don't know what is the point. I mean, I love Brat and Taylor, but who are they in relationship to the show? Like they're just there. They're like,
they got nothing.
They're like that, like hanging that extra appendage that you don't really need. That sixth finger that you should just cut off because it doesn't move or do anything.
If they went away, I wouldn't miss them.
Yeah, it's sad.
I thought the story had promise.
There's no ties, and they've written them into a corner because now it's like, how do you break them up?
I feel like Beth Ehlers would have been a good die, don't you think? Like if we, yeah. You know, at some point she would have been a good die or something. I don't know.
But like, where do they go with them now? Because now, how do you break them up? They've worked through their problems.
They're
happy.
No, but now they're trying to install fake problems where Brat doesn't want to get married because he got issues, and Beth Ehlers is begging him to get married.
Whatever. But I mean, it was a cute.
This
little
is
concept.
No diss on the performers. These are great performers. They just have nothing storyline, and even they can't save nothing.
Yeah, it's very weak, and I think
nothing from nothing, leave nothing.
And so then they decided that they were going to turn the Frankie's apartment to Hawaii. It was kind of a cute idea, but it was kind of stupid and corny.
But then Brat messes up because he slips about when we get married, and Taylor says, "Is that a proposal?" And he says, not really.
Yeah, so then why bring it up, you idiot?
Not really.
So then Frankie and Rancid get there, and they do a little Hawaii little thing. It was kind of cute. I missed that.
That was blocked out.
Yeah, I don't know why you got blocked out by it. But
Channel 7, the White Stone sign and the White Stone Bridge came down. You do SoapNet.
The minute that happens, I go to SoapNet. I don't even continue watching the episode. I just tape it on SoapNet.
Messed up.
Because, again, here in New York City, everything that happens, no matter how
breaking minute, news.
Is breaking news.
The mayor could break his toenail and it's breaking news.
The mayor could break wind and they die.
It's true. Oh, my God, Bloomberg farted. Oh, my God.
Because the bottom line is this. The thing fell on the White Stone Bridge. If I'm at home watching all my children, it really doesn't affect me.
Yeah, so. I mean,
why the hell are you interrupting myself?
Thank you.
The people that should be hearing at the radio, maybe because people are listening to the radio, they need to know.
Maybe so.
They're out there in their car.
You would think.
It's like, I'm at home watching all my children. The fact that the sign fell on the bridge means absolutely nothing to me.
It means even, actually, though, it's a little more exciting than watching Frankie and Dead Behind the Eyes Randy make love.
Yeah, but it was really stupid. It was really horrible. And then, like in real corniness, like they started making out, and Taylor and Brat was like, "Well, we gotta go then," and like they just ignored them and started making out, and then a horrible R&B song came on.
And you know what's weird too? I thought it was very strange.
What, the horrible R&B song?
Besides the horrible R&B song, it was like shadows of making love. It was like they layered them making love with close-ups, so you couldn't really see clearly that they were making love. It was almost like they were kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It was like Frankie and Randy close up, but over top of it, like a shadow of a close up face,
well, you
something
know what
like
that's
that.
About.
What's that about?
Well, no, I don't know if I'm
saying
it.
No, because I know, because I thought it.
Blair
I thought
Underwood,
it when you said
Blair
it.
Blair Underwood said it years ago when he was on LA Law.
You can't see black people making love.
He said the networks will never show black people making love. And if you really look at all the TV shows
that's
and
my
stuff
point.
Like that, You do not see African Americans or even to some extent Latins and Asians having the kind of sex scenes that Caucasians do. That's just reality, people. Look at Grey's Anatomy. You did not see Isaiah Washington and Sandra Oh going at it the way you see Izzy and what's his name? You don't watch the show.
I don't watch it.
Izzy and her guy or Derek and Meredith go at it. And he's right. And it's the same thing on the show. Because, and Blair Underwood said it so funny because he's like, because, you know, the network don't want people saying, ooh, I might like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's true. It's true.
It's offensive.
It really is. It's like you would not see them getting the same kind
we
of
We used to
play.
See Jesse and Angie make love.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, it
Greg
wasn't
and Jenny.
Like, well, no, Greg and Jenny never made love.
Oh, that's true. They,
she was
that's
a virgin
right.
to
oh, that's
wedding.
Right. That's
day.
Right.
She was a good girl.
She was a good girl.
She was a good girl.
That was a whole storyline, too.
But Angie
I loved
was a good girl, too.
Yeah,
Angie
she
waited
was.
Until she got married.
She made Jesse marry her.
She made Jesse marry her.
He tried to deflower her before the
wedding.
That
was in the days when girls were smart.
He was like, yeah, baby, let's go to a hotel. Come on, let's show love for each other. And she was like, but Jesse, I want to be married. And then he's like, why don't you say so, baby? Let's get married. He wanted that.
I know. He wanted that bad. I was like, hello.
But it was so funny because he never even really thought about it. Like, as soon as she said it, he's like, yeah, of course we're going to get married. Let's get married. It was really cute.
All I know is that Cornelius.
And then she let him have it. Woo! Yeah.
Cornelius, you were looking good this week with your shirt off. I think Omechosa needs to, like, so what if some people watch the show and go, ooh, Mandingo, let him have their jungle fever. It's okay.
I was thinking, yo, it was
funny.
Once
you go black, you never go back.
Absolutely. That's what I hear.
Mandingo, Mandingo. You know Mandingo?
No.
You don't know Mandingo either?
I don't know nothing.
You really don't know where that reference is from?
I'm not a pop culture freak like you.
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to go into it. If you know what, if you know Mandingo, people, you know what I'm talking about. Mandingo.
No, explain. Explain to the listening audience. They tune in for our ass tooth commentary.
I'm not going to say anything. Y'all look up Mandingo. IMDb. Look up Mandingo.
It's not going to tell you the plot on IMDb.
You don't need to know the plot. You just need to know Cornelius is Mandingo.
He cracks himself up.
That's all I kept thinking about when he had his shirt off. I was like, Mandingo. Oh my God.
I kept thinking about him and Beth Ehlers, to be honest with you.
That would never happen.
Really? Cliff and Angie. Cliff and Angie happened. People hated it, but...
People hated it, but yeah, but see, but there's a difference between a white man being with a black woman and a black man being with a blonde-haired white woman.
That is sexy.
That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Even though Beyonce Knowles got a movie coming out where her and Ali Larter, that blonde from Heroes, they're going to be fighting over a black man.
Ooh.
It's called Obsession. It looks like the only ghetto movie. I am so not there.
You know what? That Ali Larter is the biggest piece of non-talent I ever seen in my life.
You watch Heroes?
I saw her once on the Isaac show. Isaac Mizrahi used to have a show on like Style Network or something, a talk show.
We talk about the same, the blonde?
Yes, the blonde.
That's on Heroes?
I do not watch Heroes.
I'm not
Heroes.
Talking about Ali Larter, that Dorito girl that was married to Mario Lopez.
No. Because
their names are very similar.
No, I'm talking about Ali Larter.
Really?
She was on Isaac, and you could tell he was so bored with her. There is nothing going on upstairs with that girl.
Well, I got to tell you, I liked her in the first season of Heroes.
Come
No, I liked her in the first season of Heroes. I thought she was really good. But then they changed her character. She was playing another character now. And her character now is the same as the other character, and I realized she's not that great of an actress.
You realize?
Well, no, honey. There are people that can act, and then there are people that can act.
Hollywood has a habit of making stars of young, pretty blondes that can't act.
Well, I know.
You know who else is the big one?
Who?
That Gretchen Mol. She's horrible.
I don't like her at all.
She keeps getting work, and the woman cannot act. It pisses me to hell off.
I like my B actresses. I like my B actresses. You know Monica Potter? I love me some Monica Potter.
I don't like when Hollywood puts these young blonde girls up and says that they're great, and they're not great, and they fail up. Every project gets better and better. It gets me mad. Because we have some talented ladies in daytime that don't ever get that.
No, we have, let me tell you something, we have phenomenal actresses in daytime that I don't even understand how Hollywood, first of all, I've never understood how Hollywood is not looking at daytime and saying, this person is somebody that we got to pull for movies.
My little Bree Williamson.
Oh, don't even get,
she can do anything.
Hey.
What?
You're getting onto One Night to Live, and you're cutting into my 2 minutes at the end of this show.
She plays Jessica Tess and Best to perfection. I don't care what any of y'all say. She's brilliant. I love her.
Love her.
She made a flashback thing.
Wait, we're going into One Night to Live. Fine, we can't do that.
Can I just say this? Natalie imagined telling her about the baby, about Chloe / Hope. And she had a meltdown in the hospital that had me crying.
And it was Natalie imagining that this was happening. And I got to tell you, when they showed it in the Coming Attractions, I thought it was for real. I didn't think it was. And I was like, oh, shit, it's going to go out like that?
Well, I knew it wasn't because even with the baby switch with Bianca, they got it. And when that moment of realization happens, it's got to be a big moment with everybody around. Yeah. So you knew it wasn't going to happen right then and there. But, do we got to talk about David?
No, I want to talk about... Oh, yeah, we got to talk about David, because one of the things that I liked this week was about Erica. David. No, David and Jesse.
I loved Erica this week. Erica, girl, I apologize.
Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci, I apologize to you.
You had a good week this
you
week.
You earned your paycheck the
writers,
this week.
The writers...
You earned your half pay this
in
week.
In all respect, yeah. Your quarter pay now.
Your
you're not
quarter
pay,
you no, earned it this week.
You got to give respect to the writers,
though.
I said something
just for those of you who haven't heard. On Daytime Confidential... On our interview, you can go to www.daytimeconfidential.com and hit up the podcast section.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Luke. Hi, everybody. They asked us about what we thought about Susan Lucci's pay cut, and I was rather harsh. I was a little harsh. I admit it.
You were extremely harsh. You cannot be blaming her.
Well, she earned her half pay this week.
Let me tell you something, but that, I got to get credit to the writers. The writers, whoever was writing the breakdown this week, who was writing the actual dialogue, they had some good lines for her.
I was looking to see if it was Joanna Cohen, because I tend to like her work.
I don't know. All I know is that she had a couple of good lines, and I was living for Miss Lucci, because it was classic Erica.
Yes.
I haven't enjoyed
Erica.
And it
was classic meddling, too,
yes,
which I liked.
I haven't enjoyed Erica this much since Barbara and James were writing for her. This was Erica this week.
This was
the
her
only
week.
Thing that wasn't Erica was her kissing defending JR. That, see, this is what irks me about the writers. It's like, because at one moment I'll like what's going on, and then something stupid like that will happen where it's like, okay, come on, be realistic. He tried to kill both your daughters at one point.
Tried to murder them.
Murder them. By throwing bricks on one and shoving the other
one
off a balcony.
Off a balcony.
And we're supposed to
when
believe
he
that
was
you're
the
okay.
one that was wrong, when he knew he had her kid. He knew he had Bianca's kid when he shoved her.
Yeah, and I could
disgusting.
See, I could see her helping to an extent. But you guys, as writers, need to write and show the conflict that she's
Can
having.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Didn't Kendall F. J.R. when he was just a young babe in the woods?
Yeah.
She did, right?
Yeah.
Sexy. Ooh, I want some of that.
I liked her with J.R.
I liked it, too.
I like me some older women. They're not that old, different in age, though.
At the time, they were, weren't they? When she was having that flirtation with that goofy model kid. Remember that goofy-looking model kid? They had that little flirtation. She had to act opposite him before Jacob Young
came
on board.
You're thinking about there's two different ones. You keep calling my guy goofy, and there was the one that was involved with the fusion. That kid was goofy, but the one before him was the hot one.
No, I'm very confused. I'm very mad. I'm very upset. Because first we had my favorite, Jesse McCartney.
God, I love Jesse McCartney.
Who I loved. And then we had Goofy Kid. Goofy
no!
tall, dangly kid.
See, the
kid.
One that came after Jesse McCartney was not Goofy. He's a big actor. Well, not a big actor. He's trying to make it big now. He's a hot ticket. And then there was the
What's
dorky.
His name?
Jesus, I'm drawing a blank. I'm not
Prove
that.
It. I don't believe you. I think you're
look
lying.
Up, go to IMDb and look up that movie with Lindsay Lohan, Mean Girls. He was in that. I cannot believe that I'm drawing a blank on his name right now because I think he's so hot.
How long
and
was
I
he
know
on
he's
the
a
show mo- for?
I don't
like
care.
2 days?
They wanted to sign him, but I guess his agents were like, "Are you insane? You're going to make it so big in Hollywood." And he's been working. He hasn't hit it big yet.
But how long was he on All My Children?
He
so
was on
say?
He was off contract though. He was on for a couple of months. And he was a really hot ticket. Jonathan Bennett. Oh, my God. Jonathan Bennett. How could I forget that name?
How
I even love his name.
Was he on for?
Look how hot. Look at that.
Right
oh,
now
my
I remember
God.
Him.
You don't remember him.
I do remember him.
Oh, God.
He's
oh,
adorable.
My God. Oh, and he's of age. I was feeling very
oh
Michael
my
Jackson.
God, he had so many things to his
yes,
credit.
Yes. This is all my children. Girl, he's worked.
It says
he
here
just
two
needs-
episodes.
IMDb does not do the soaps right any longer.
Oh, you're right, you're
they're,
right,
they're,
right.
They're, the way they do the soaps is totally wrong. But look, this is what I'm telling you about. All he needs is to find the right project that's going to put him in the map. Because he has what it takes to be a star. He is talented and he's gorgeous.
He's got some bushy eyebrows, though.
I love those bushy eyebrows. I'm so mad at myself for not remembering his name. You don't understand. Even his name I love, Jonathan Bennett.
I think I remember him over-grooming his eyebrows.
Yeah, then there was after he left, they replaced him. This was when the fusion storyline started. And they had that girlfriend of his that her father was alcoholic. That was the dorky model that they got to play JR that did not last long. And he was the last JR that ran away before Jacob Young came back.
All right, fine. Who the hell are we talking about? David.
We're talking about the fact that Erica would not be helping. I know we really digress. we were talking about the fact that Erica was helping JR and we couldn't kind of believe. But Erica has some good moments. I love. Go ahead. You got to do it like her. Give those lines she told Crystal.
You,
she just.
I
wait,
am
people.
Not Charles Pratt. Hole. I am not a premature, and I will take my time telling this story. And when I get to the impersonation, I will do it.
She dissed Crystal twice this week.
Hey, don't
and I
blow,
lived.
Don't
I lived.
Blow it. You're blowing your wad, all Jordan. Right,
all right.
Do not blow your wad. That's disgusting. I hate that. This is supposed to be a PG show. Oy, oy, oy. All right. This is what I have for David's custody crap for the week of March 23rd. First of all, if that silver dress, like, I got to disagree. I think Shadow was the one who criticized Erica's silver gray dress. Shadow, baby, you know I love you. You know we got a secret love affair, secret love baby, all that stuff. But I can't, I got to disagree. I love how Erica looked on Monday's episode. She wore that white 3/4 length coat with that silver dress and those big ass earrings that she could wear as a necklace. I mean, the hoops. Mm-hmm. You know that necklace. You know those hoops that fit around her little neck. Mm-hmm. You're not listening to me.
I am listening to
That's
you.
That's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. If it's New York and Company, she's looking good. They're dressing her well. She was sticking to her story. She did really great this week. She stuck to her story when she said she didn't know where Adam was.
She was very believable.
Very believable. I love Jesse's frustration. He was all kinds of frustrated. I liked how Erica retold Frankie's story in the beginning. Did you like that?
No, I didn't like that. I love that. You mean when she was talking to Jesse about yes. Angie's father, Les
yes.
Baxter?
Yes.
See, that was a beautiful moment. That was great writing. And Erica knew all about that stuff because she was in town at that time. So she knows all of that. That was perfect. I loved that. I thought that was brilliant. I almost like fell off my chair.
David Hayward is every bit as toxic as Les Baxter was.
You were so... All right, so getting back to this, because yes. we keep digressing.
Yes.
Erica was really great. She told... And then, go ahead.
Why the fuck was David Hayward in jail sassing the chief of police the whole Monday and Tuesday episode?
Oh, but let me tell you something. This is what I like, because Jesse had his fill, and for the first time in a while, I saw my Jesse. And Darnell, I saw you as an actor... making a choice not to scream at the top of your lungs, because that's the way they act on Days of Our Lives, not on All My Children.
He had a couple good lines.
Oh, Jesse?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, girl.
Are you threatening me? You're not that smart. Wow, you're a doctor.
I like that. And then he's like,
prisons are desperate for doctors these days. Check it out. You could be big man on campus. Cell block A.
Come on, laugh a little.
I love that. I love that. But I love when he told David, your ass is mine. That's what I was like, woo, that's majestic.
Doesn't it seem like years ago that Erica said to Crystal, when you look in the mirror, is anybody there?
I love that.
It's great.
But see, you can't see what she's doing. That was the thing. I love when she did her hand movement. like when you look in the mirror, she did. That was so gay. I loved it.
Is there anybody there? Tell me, Crystal.
That was very gay, and I lived for that. I was like, she is such a queen inside.
And
I know.
I honestly liked when Ms. Lucci took JR to see Lil A, where she had him hidden out. Now, I'm going to say one thing. I need to make a quick One Life to Live reference.
Oh.
Please.
You're cutting into my One Life to Live time. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to tell you something.
What?
One Life to Live must have a rule book. Number one, no payoffs of judges, because that's so stupid and dumb. And the second thing they must have is no illegal dumb entries. You're going to knock on the door. You're going to get in somehow. You know, or you're going to have a warrant as a cop or whatever. No dumb, stupid ass entries. And number three, One Life to Live hires goons. They hired a Dorian Lord hired a big burly black man.
Oh, that's Sean. I love Sean.
I love him.
You don't know where Sean came from. Sean's been on the show for a while.
I'm not criticizing. I'm adoring it. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it makes sense. If you got all the money in the world and people are continuing threatening you or harassing you or breaking and entering, you do something about it if you have money.
Oh,
you
I
hire
love me,
a goon.
Sean's. Ooh,
and Adam and Erica have stolen little A, okay? And they have this little sort of mousy girl watching the door.
Oh, she's not a girl.
They need
that
a goon. they had an old lady, a middle-aged lady in mom jeans. They need a goon. Don't you think?
Ooh, I agree with you.
So frustrating.
I love Sean. I used to like Todd. Todd I loved had a him goon too. Remember Todd had a goon too?
Yes, I love it. It makes sense. It's what you do. I'm sorry, but I love it. I had to digress. All right. Back to my point about Daving bribing the judge. I was so sick of this. And this is one of the things that Jordan and I kind of disagreed on, only because we didn't understand I didn't understand the turn of events. I thought that David bribed the judge initially so that he would arrest JR and put him in jail and then take Little A away from him.
No.
So I misunderstood because of course we didn't see any of this crap, this initial custody thing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of holes this week in the sense of like you're not showing us things that we really need to see. What happened was David blackmailed the judge into putting JR in jail so that JR would be really looking all haggard for the custody case, and also to speed up the custody hearing so that like it'll be the next day. That's what David was blackmailing him. What we didn't see is that somehow social services decided to give a little aid to Jesse and Angie, and for some reason nobody knows that the child's with Jesse and Angie. They didn't show us that. It's kind of stupid. It doesn't make sense that you would give the chief of police this baby. The baby would be put in social services and be put in a home, not like
didn't before any of this even happen, because I have in my notes that, well, I have so boring and ridiculous, but that's besides the point. Yeah. I have in my notes that David had already arranged to bribe the judge to get custody of Little A before they even caught Little A. Because then Little A, who I have two performers of the week. He's my first, Little A.
He was better than Rancid and Natalia.
And Adam combined. Fine. I mean, he was amazing. He calls Crystal. He goes, "Hi, Nana. We're going on a trip." Remember, he called her on the cell phone.
Little boy.
I know, but he was a great performance. That's what I'm saying.
No, it was a great performance, but you stupid.
And when Natalia talked to him later in the week and about his mama, he's like, "Really, mama's an angel looking down on me."
Yeah,
that was very sweet.
He showed more depth and range than Natalia ever could.
I'll tell you who showed the most depth and range.
Who?
Myrtle's photo. When Zach was talking to Myrtle's photo
even
late in the week.
Dead, she's acting out these people.
From the dead, she is out acting everybody.
Thank you, Eileen Hurley.
Thank you, Eileen Hurley.
Your photo speaks a thousand
we
words.
We adore you. She's the moral center of the show.
I think I would rather see a scene of her photo just hanging there than to see Adam and
Anton. You know, we never did get a lovemaking scene between Myrtle and Zach. Maybe now's the time.
Ew, that's gross.
You know, it'd be like one of those old 1930s films where you know how the stars, like when they were in love, they would just be like cheek to cheek saying loving things. I love you so much. I love you to the depth of my soul. Like you could do that with Zach and Myrtle.
Sounds very Catherine Hepburn.
You know what I'm saying? Like you could
put Calla lilies on bloom again.
You could put Zach in his cheek next to Myrtle's photo. I love you more than morning dew. I would love that. I'd be so happy. I don't know. My only regret is that we never lived to make love to each other. I'll make love to you now, darling. I'll make love to you forevermore.
The calla lilies on bloom again.
All right, fine. I missed a whole bunch of stuff because I know that JR got arrested.
She fell asleep.
But I must have fallen asleep because I still do not fast forward. I watch.
I know,
so you don't have to.
There's some stuff that she was like, and I tell her, no, that happened. They actually showed that.
I'm like,
and she's like, no, they didn't. I'm like, no, Ashley, they did.
I thought that they did not show.
You probably fell asleep.
I did. I think I did. I thought they did not show Colby hitting Crystal.
Oh, no, girl. They showed that because I kept hitting the rewind button on my DVR so I could see it over and over again. If I was a DJ, I'd make a master mix of it. Because I was living for that. Let me tell you, not because I like Colby, but I just want somebody to hit Crystal upside her head. So that made me that. And you know what else I kept replaying?
What?
When Zach hit Adam. Woo! My girl was on that button. I kept rewinding it. I was like, master mix. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, word.
Adam didn't even seem to feel that punch.
Because Adam can't feel anything because he's devoid of any feelings and emotions. He's soulless. Soulless he is.
Cladumbo.
All
right, listen. So then we have, oh God, do I have to continue? Then we have David not even caring about Crystal getting a head injury. And did you not think of our beautiful Natasha Richardson with this whole storyline?
Yes. It was very
he hits
weird
her
timing.
I'm sorry. Colby hits hits Crystal over the head. And she's only there for, what, a few hours? She's supposed to stay 24 hours, as Jake pointed out, because she had a head injury, and Dave is trying to rush her.
And again, Crystal, you're clueless. Wake up. The man obviously does not give a flying
thing
about
you. This is not Crystal. This is not a Stepford wife. This is just like Jamie said.
From
DaytimeConfidential.com. She's a Stepford wife. She ain't nothing like she is.
And it's sad. It's sad because I'm beginning to really feel for Bobby East, because I'm beginning to think like she does not know at this point. It seems like when I'm watching her, that she at this point she's got given up hope. She doesn't
know
how to
happens?
Play this.
This is
she's
the problem.
She's trying as an actress to put some believability and to put some credibility to this, and there is no way that you could do this because it's horrible. And I felt this week, I actually felt for it because I'm looking at her on screen. I'm like, I'm thinking in her head, she's probably saying, "How do I justify this?
That's exactly right. We talked about it. We've talked about it a lot. Our friends on the blog have talked about it a lot. Our friends of Daytime Confidential have talked about it a lot. We've all talked about this a lot. When you sacrifice character to advance plot, okay, and you make characters do things that they wouldn't probably do, that it's not really in their makeup to do, you confuse the actors. And this is what happened to Tamra Braun. Tamra Braun did not know, as Reese, did not know what the hell she was playing, because every day was a different dumbass thing. And it didn't, none of it made sense. None of it was like a lot. There was not like a character thing, like a line for the character. Like there was not a way of dealing or thinking for the character. So now the same thing, I think, like you said, is happening to Crystal.
Yeah.
How can Bobby Eakes know who the F this person is?
Yeah.
This person is a shadow of her former sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's not right.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
All right. So Jesse gets the kids, and then we see Jesse and Angie get the kids, and then we see. And it was actually kind of nice. Like, again, I hate the apartment that our beautiful Hubbard family is living in. They need a real home. It's horrible. But at least I enjoyed them trying to take care of little A. And
it was cute.
It was sweet enough.
It was sweet. I just wish Natalia wasn't there and the hooker. But, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
The hooker making out. Frankie was like.
Can I ask you something?
Frankie was between her legs.
No. I don't have a hooker in my family.
I don't have a hooker in my family.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Frankie was between her legs making out with her. She was sitting on the counter. Her legs were spread and he was between her. That's disgusting. I'm sorry. I'm appalled. I'm a very liberal Puerto Rican, but I was appalled and disgusted. It's true.
All right, what's next?
Should we finish?
Oh, wait, so David, and David was like screaming and hollering during the trial. You just didn't like that judge. I liked the female judge.
I only didn't like it because just the day before I had seen a brilliant portrayal of a custody hearing, not a custody hearing, but a hearing on One Life to Live, where the judge was an African-American woman with braids who I loved her, and she didn't even deal with the lawyer at first. She said to Cole, "I don't care about the lawyer's story. What's your story?" And Cole gave his statement and it made sense and it was beautiful, and she's like listening to this and she's trying to make sense of it, and none of it is sounding like BS. It's all sounding pretty legitimate.
No, I agree with you on that. That's the writing though. I'm talking about the actress though.
It's still a stereotype. All my children lately
has been hiring, I've said that last week, that they've been hiring people to play under fives and day players that were awful. I thought the actress was actually really good. I liked her.
I think the actress was fine. My problem is that they don't think out of the box when they cast this crap, so it makes it feel like you're watching something that's being acted. That's my problem. Mm-hmm. It's always white judges who are older. That just gets me mad. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Next storyline. Are we done with the storyline? This is the storyline that doesn't end.
This is where it actually gets good.
What?
Well, first, Crystal. All right. So David pulls her ass out of treatment or whatever, but Jake lets it slip to Erica where they've gone. So Erica knows that what David and Crystal are up to. David and Crystal go to see this, you know, paid off judge who's apparently some drug user, some cretin or something like that, whatever.
And of course, David like took care of him. Again, scenes that we never saw.
Ugh, disgusting.
He's been back for like all of like what? Ugh. He's been back for like 4 months. This happened in 4 months. Or we supposed to believe that this happened when he was in Pine Valley years ago.
And Crystal is going along with it like nothing. Like making little false protests. Like we should do it honestly, David. I don't want to do this unfairly. It has to be fair. But no, she acts like an animal anyway. And they and they talk and then they figure everything out. So Erica comes in after she sees that Crystal and David have done this, and she kind of reminds him that, you know, she suspects something here. I smell a rat, and I hate rats. I love her.
She was great with those.
She was great with the judge.
Were very Erica. She played them perfectly. I was living for Erica on that day.
And she came in this yellow and white and black top. She looked like a ray of sunshine. She was so happy and so like proud of herself. I loved it. And then she bust Crystal the next day. Was it the next day or the same day?
No, yeah, she went. No, it was the same day. She went
same
to,
day.
She went to go tell David. And
oh no,
Crystal.
It was the next day because she got.
No,
she wanted.
The trial was the next day.
Oh, she went the same. Yes, you're right. She went the same day to tell David and Crystal
that there was gonna be a new judge. So she was putting.
And
them
Crystal
in their
said
place.
Something dumbass again.
No, because she said, "I." She goes, "I'm just gonna try to help a friend," and then Crystal goes, "Oh, and is that friend Adam?"
And then Erica says, "Miss Erica Kane, as played by the Miss Brilliant Susan Lucci, says." Careful, Crystal. I wouldn't want to rupture something.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
And I actually wrote in my notes that I liked Jacob Young this week as JR. I thought he played with a lot of heart when he was worried about Adam on the phone. I thought he's playing this connection with Erica nice. It's just hard, like Jordan said, because, you know, there's a history there.
Look, I've always liked me some Jacob Young, except as Lucky in general. I never liked him as Lucky in general.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as JR, he is definitely JR. I just think that right now you know, it's so bad, the storyline that he's been given to.
I agree. So then we have the whole dumbass courtroom scene, custody hearing, with the nice white judge, who's a fine actress, but typecast if you ask me. And she tolerates, again, like, tomfoolery. She kind of sort of tolerates tomfoolery.
Who's Tom?
You know what I'm saying. She tolerates David, like, interrupting JR, and they're all crazy if you ask me. And some of the testimony to me, it just didn't add up to her decision to give temporary custody to Angie and Jesse. It just didn't add up.
You know what would have added up? You taking custody away from both those lunatic sides and giving it to somebody else. I'm sorry, but to listen to both sides, even JR's side, they both sound unfit. I wouldn't want to be giving that child to either one of them if I was a judge. And I'm not talking about temporary. I'm talking about permanent custody. They both sound like a bad influence, both JR and Crystal and David.
I don't buy it. Do you know how bad of a parent you have to be to lose custody of your child? You have to be the worst of the worst. And that thing with that alcohol could happen to anybody. I'm telling you right now. Can I tell you, at the retirement party, my little nephew, he is not even 2 years old.
He's Puerto Rican though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's different.
That's not true.
We started drinking at a very young
age. He was, listen, no, listen, that's not true. I was forbidden alcohol. When we were forbidden. There was a kids table, and because the kids range from like him, he's the youngest, he's like not even two, to the oldest who's like 10, they kind of let the older ones take care of the little ones. And all of a sudden we turn around and we see my little nephew drinking a glass of wine, like guzzling it. Like he's not even two. It happens. You know what I'm saying? You don't lose custody of your kid because that happened. So it's not believable. I'm sorry. I'm pissed off about it.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you.
We don't got to talk more about the story, right?
I think that's the way it
is. Oh,
ended.
Thank God.
Jesse and Angie took
the my God, thank God.
And nobody knows that they were the kid. Tad was good, though. Michael Knight was good with his speech.
Oh, his speech was excellent. I love
Michael. He was really good. Michael Knight. Thank God for Michael Knight.
And you know what? I'm being negative this episode, but I'm telling you, these are the things I love. I love him. I thought Miss Lucci did a great job this week.
Was that the whole week?
Well, we got Zach and Kendall and Rachel.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. You can take care of Zach and Kendall.
Oh my God! I hate that. Are you serious?
I have nothing to say. The only thing I liked about Zach was when he punched Adam. Everything else makes no sense. Ryan and Kendall make no sense.
They've made love icky, ooh, poo. Oh, gross. They've made love last week. She comes to work. She sees Ryan running the show. He tells her that he wants whatever she wants, you know. And then Ree shows up. She's all better. And now, listen, I like Reese now. I actually do like Reese now. I feel
I got a comment because I actually like those scenes. She showed up and her and Erica, those were actually some good scenes. Not believable in the sense that I'm saying that this makes up for the fact that they totally ruined the storyline with Reese and Bianca. All I'm saying was it was some nice words coming out of their mouth. I love the fact that Erica listened to what Reese had to say.
Well, first Reese lectures Kendall and tells her what to do with her life.
Yeah, well, Reese shouldn't be lecturing Kendall about anything.
But then Erica shows up and Erica's cold to her.
Yes.
Oh, what are you doing here? Oh, get out. Oh, who cares? Oh, who wants you? You're disgusting. You're filth.
She didn't say all that.
Your vagina reeks.
Have you been hanging out with
Vaginessa from One Life to Live? She was very hard on Reese. Very hard.
She was not that hard on Reese. It was good, though. I like the Reese and Erica moment.
Well, Reese is very determined to prove herself to Erica and to everybody else about how her love for Bianca, and she will get her children back.
And I finally felt something for Reese. I was like, my heart went a little like this. Look, boop. I was like, oh, I felt something for
me. I know, because she's being written more clearly now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't buy it, the whole storyline.
It doesn't, it's not at all truthful, but we like it.
Yeah, I buy the fact now that you know what you want. You want this woman. You're going to do whatever it takes. I can feel that, and I love the fact that Erica felt that. I thought that was a good moment.
But talk about rewriting history.
What?
I thought about you in our argument a couple of months ago.
What?
Remember when we had the argument about disagreeing about Reese's mom at the shower?
Uh-huh.
And how you didn't think Reese's mom was being homophobic and I did?
Not just me, but everybody in the podcast. Everybody in the vlog.
Everybody disagreed with me. Well, it turns out, I will give you this, that they're sort of trying to clarify what they actually meant to write. And I will stand corrected and agree with you that probably the behavior, after reviewing it, wasn't quite as... It was a little clueless, if you ask me. Uh-huh. Incredibly inappropriate. Mm. But it did not necessarily demonstrate homophobia. But I think the writers thought it did because they suck at writing. Do you know what I'm saying? It's true. So what they went back and did is rewrote when Reese last week had all her dream scenes. Uh-huh. They rewrote it so to make it clear that Reese's mom is a bigot and a homophobe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now we know Reese's mommy is to blame for all of her shame.
She's mommy issues.
That's right.
Mommy issues.
I liked when Reese emailed Miranda for her birthday. I got a little teary at that. You didn't. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, because it was something more modern. Instead of writing a handwritten letter to a blind person. So yes, I did like it.
We had one question from Wanda Blackwell.
Yes.
A new writer to the show.
Hi, Wanda Blackwell.
Hi, Wanda Blackwell.
Are you related to Mr. Blackwell who just passed away?
I know. Jordan gets mad at me because I act like Mr. Blackwell all the time with my criticisms and critiques of the various outfits on the show. But I happen to think I have very good taste. Me with my door knocker earrings. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, she says, I would love your thoughts on how they will have them wrap Eden and Tamara's storyline. I wish they would stay. So do we, but it's not going to happen. I'm sorry, Wanda.
This is how I would wrap it up. I would wrap it up that Bianca wakes up and the last few months have been a dream because she got bumped in the head during the tornado. And Reese is 100% lesbian and she comes to town and we start all over again.
Absolutely.
And they stay. That's how I would do it.
But that's not going to happen. We kind of already know what's going to happen. Is it even a spoiler?
I think everybody knows. Eden's coming back for like a day.
He's
to
coming
wrap
back
things
from a
up,
day,
and they leave,
and they leave together.
Together.
And that's it, Wanda. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Why even bother?
Yo, I saw my cousin at the retirement party. She was very happy about how they ended Reese's stay on all my children, because she's one of the people that was very offended. She and her
with
partner.
With every right, too. With every
she
right.
And her partner,
I'm her girl. What, I'm girl right
betrayal.
With. I'm right there with you. I'm very offended, too.
But she felt it was like what she went through as
well.
Well,
watch Guiding Light, Otalia. You'll love it.
But listen, she felt like it was what she went through as well, like the shame part of it. You know what I mean? Like being taught your whole life that this is a shameful secret, that you're gay and blah, blah, blah. She really related to that.
But then
I thought
the writer should have wrote that storyline. See,
they didn't write that storyline,
story
but they tried to make up for
they
it through
make
Reese's
up for it
speeches.
By saying that was their intention.
By saying that that's what happened.
But maybe if they, maybe if
even
they
though we know it didn't.
Maybe if they,
even though Juliana Crap Brothers think we're stupid and saw that and or saw something else that we shouldn't have seen.
Maybe I would have enjoyed the storyline better if that's the way they had played it from the beginning. You know what I mean?
I agree. Ryan goes to the casino to threaten Zach all the time. I'm so sick of it. But Zach was busy at that time giving Kendall divorce papers.
I'm bored with that. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back.
All right, fine. There's just not much more to say about it, really. Zach insisted that Kendall always loved Ryan and Zach sets her free to be with Ryan, and Kendall practically at this point grovels for Zach, but he is such a dick. I am so pissed. He made a baby with her sister and killed her brother, and he's blaming all this crap on her? What the hell? Then we have Nurse Gail, your favorite, Jordan. You're missing it because you're peeing. His favorite, Nurse Gail, conveniently produces the DNA tests and tells Ryan that, in fact, that dead person was Greenlee.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Yes, it was Nurse Gail. Nurse Gail switched the results and produced results.
You're wrong. They spent almost 20 minutes showing somebody walking around the hospital from their point of view with the papers, and they picked up the papers in the dust. That wasn't Nurse Gail.
That was not Nurse Gail.
So this is my theory.
But who gave the result was Nurse Gail.
But what I'm saying is Greenlee's alive.
Are you kidding me?
Somebody's covering up Greenlee's death. She's really alive.
Listen, genius. Everybody knows that.
But who's covering it up? Who's covering it up? Leo?
Listen.
Could it be Leo?
It's David, you...
I know,
person?
But can he be doing it because he knows where Leo is and he's going to reunite Leo and Greenlee?
No, the writers ain't that smart or that caring.
Look, all I know is that it's stupid. I hate Nurse Gail.
Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that this whole thing has been jiggered to make it seem like it's Greenlee. It's so obvious and dumb. That's the other thing. They make things so freaking obvious.
And how stupid was it that Opal... Like, when did Opal and Greenlee become best friends that Opal's, like, so connected with Greenlee? And she runs into Jackson, who has an urn with Greenlee's ashes. That was all very icky to me. I don't know if you like that, but I certainly didn't.
I thought it was ridiculous that then, at the release of these ashes, it's just Jerkson and Opal.
Opal. Like, what is Opal to Greenlee? At least Erica fought with Greenlee.
Nothing.
And then Jackson thinks he's like Jackson Caruso.
And he takes
his shoes off and brings up those things. Nobody wanted to see those chicken legs.
But even
Jackson
worse.
Jackson Caruso lost.
Ryan makes some excuse about not being able to be there. Do you know how freaking pissed I would be if I knew that Carlos gave my asses to some guy I knew for 2 years to get rid of him? Did I mean that little in life that they couldn't have a little get together, a family get together to release the ashes?
It wasn't that you meant so little, honey. It was just that Carlos was going to be hooking up with Magdalena later on. That's the whole thing. Ryan has an active, alive vagina to play with. Why is he going to go mourn over Greenlee?
Disgusting.
He has Kendall now.
But then he pretends to be all... He goes to Kendall running, crying, pretends. Zach did this. He ruined my future. He ruined your future. What happens to him?
Bugante, Citroma, take it. Clean out your system.
Clean it right out.
Clean the system out.
Well, it doesn't matter because Kendall sat on him and he felt all better. He felt all better.
You know, the only thing that's good about the two of them getting together is that it's showing that she is her mother's daughter. That's the only thing I like about this. Because you know what? Kendall's becoming the new Erica Kane. She's self-destructive. She plays with men. And I love it. I love that aspect.
Too fast.
I know you guys want Erica with Zach. But
too fast.
I never thought Kendall should have been settled down so quickly
too
or
fast.
Have kids so soon.
Wait, Erica with Zach?
No, Kendall.
You said Erica.
I meant Kendall.
Fine. I was going to say that would have been a little brittle for me. You can't be putting a 62-year-old woman with a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, but he looks 50-something.
He does. People, I have to agree with some of y'all. He looked especially bad this week. His hair's thinning, don't you think?
I think he needs to cut his hair.
Absolutely. When they showed the flashbacks.
With his hair short, he looks
and his hair was short.
Better.
He looks better in flashback and in video. Instead of shaky cam.
But he looked horrible on One Life to Live. He used to have long hair.
I remember.
Like seaweed. It was the most nastiest thing.
Why
I could
did
not
he have
believe
to
that
renew
women
his contract?
Him.
Why can't he go back to
know.
One
it's
Life?
Stupid. I mean, I would think that One Life to Live would want him back. His character would make such an impact right now.
Well, then Erica, this is where Erica starts to meddle again. And I'll wrap this up real quick. Erica starts to meddle again. She goes to Kendall and Zach's house and... You know, and in her New York and Company outfit, which I thought also was very, very beautiful. She tries to talk sense into Zach because he's there and he looked like crap, like I said. And it doesn't work. So then Kendall comes in and she half-assedly tries to stop Zach. And then Mama Kane tries to talk sense into her. And Kendall says she loves both Zach and Ryan. And I'm just not buying it. Just, she flashes back to both of them. And it's just painful for me because I don't get it. And then all of a sudden, she makes a phone call, but Zach is already with Ryan at this point, and they're having it out.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Oh, it's so painful.
It's so horrible.
Why do we have to have such weak women? I mean, I don't get it. Because
this is all
it.
My children.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Pine Valley, the land of weak women.
Well, it turns out she was leaving him a message that she was going to leave town at 7 o'clock and that she wasn't going to pressure him, but that if he wanted to be with her, he should stop her.
Hey, was that Corinna looking like Wilma Flintstone?
I liked her this week. Ah!
How could you like her? She looked like Wilma Flintstone with that outfit.
I liked her this week.
She's annoying. All of a sudden, Corinna got sophisticated. She takes that patch off that one eye, and now she's sophisticated.
I liked her. You know things are getting bad when I like Corinna.
Was that her?
Yeah, that was her. That was her letting Zach in to Ryan's home, and then Ryan comes home with a kitten. This is a man who has spent maybe all of 10 minutes with his daughter in the past 3 months, and he goes to a shelter and gets a fake kitten for her. Don't you think it could have been a moment that he could have spent with his daughter, taking her to the shelter, teaching her about animals and this and that? And instead, he brings home a fake kitten. He opens the box. It's like, meow, meow, meow. It's like meow on repeat.
Did he show the cat?
No.
No.
He just heard, meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, Robbie, what? Robbie was like off his leg going,
meow, meow, meow. Oh, it was ridiculous. And then we find out that Ryan has done a hostile takeover. I've taken Cambius from you. It was mine anyway. And Zach is like, so what? So, who cares? Do you really feel any better about yourself, Ryan? I don't think so. Really, you didn't win. You got everything, but you've got nothing.
Groundskeeper winning.
Yeah. And that's another thing I think on One Life to Live has on the rule books.
What?
No hostile takeovers. Except, Dorian did it.
Yeah, but
when
Dorian
did
it,
you see the
smart.
Whole thing.
You saw what Dorian had to do to take over that company.
And it took weeks, right?
It took months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She plotted that thing out.
Thank you.
And she covered every loophole.
I will say one thing.
She didn't hire Petey to break into
the
company.
Exactly. Ridiculous. Oh, my God. I will say one thing. When Ryan showed up on Thursday's episode to stop Kendall, I actually liked it for a second. And then the next morning, we don't see them making love. And then the next morning, she wakes up and finds out that he took over Cambius, and she's all pissed off. And they start blah, 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 blah. How unsexy is it to restart a relationship and just be like, wah, 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 wah.
How bizarre is it to start a relationship when your fiancé died just 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's true. You got me there. Zach, that was when Zach was at the yacht club talking to Myrtle. Brilliant. Myrtle was Eileen Hurley, you were brilliant in those scenes. Absolutely brilliant. I am not joking.
Oh, my Lord.
I am not joking.
Did you really like those scenes?
I swear I did. But I thought it was sad because we have no more moral center. We have no Ruth. We have no Mona. We have no Myrtle. And we have no Bianca. Obliterated. Who is the moral center of the show? Angie? She could be, but she's not being written right.
She's not being written at all. They're not giving them anything. Why did you bring them back? I have no faith of the new Liza working out because I don't think these writers know what they're going to do with her. I mean, I keep hearing that they're putting her with Zach. Even if I don't care if it's that she's defending Zach for something. Because supposedly now she's a lawyer. The point is that Liza, you're bringing this character back because the character's needed on the canvas. Because the character has history with Adam, with Jake, with Tad, with Kobe, with Crystal, with David, with Stuart, with Marion. You don't need to put her with Zach. That makes no sense. So you see, the writers show to me that they don't know the history of the show. They don't know what they're doing.
They don't care. They're throwing shit against the wall to see what sticks because they think we're all a bunch of friggin' idiots.
Are we done?
Yes, you can talk about One Life to Live now. Well,
we're done.
One
no,
thing,
say, is that
one thing,
the whole
thing,
week?
One thing, one thing, one thing, one thing.
Was that the whole week?
Two things.
What?
Zach is going to gamble for the love of his life back.
The casino?
That's the thing. He didn't finish the sentence, so we don't know if he was talking about to Ryan. If we don't know if he was talking casino or talking Kendall.
I would think he's talking about the casino.
I would think so too.
I think he's just like setting
being
Kendall
mean.
Up.
Yeah, he's
so
being
Kendall
mean.
Could be like, oh, she did a fight over me. Oh, fuck you.
She's gonna step in. She's gonna be like, oh, Zach, you don't have to gamble over me. And he's gonna be like, I wasn't gambling over you. I'm gambling over my first love, my casino. That'd be cool, right?
Well, he is Scottish,
Irish, whatever. The hell.
All right. Same thing.
The only other thing I had maybe mentioned in my brain was Amanda.
They showed her this week?
They showed her this week. They did.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
Yeah, they showed her going to the hospital for a sonogram. She had a little baby bump. Adorable.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, I guess
when week she be... like is like not even pregnant, she's looking all anorexic, and the next week she has a little belly. That's stupid.
Why does David get to talk about the baby they made together in front of Jake, and Jake doesn't punch him? And how does he have any right to be in that room while she's getting a sonogram?
Because he's the head of the hospital.
Bullshit. Yeah, bullshit.
That was corny. That was Nurse Gail helping him.
No.
When he signals Nurse Gail, and she gets on the mic, and she's like, Dr. Martin, we need you on the fifth floor nursing station. That was so... strangle Nurse Gail.
You have rights as a patient. If she don't want him in there, get the f*** out. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but you know what? The fact that he's the head of the hospital is stupid. So right there, it just...
But it doesn't matter.
Enough of
it
David.
It doesn't matter. You say the word and they gotta get the out.
I'm saying enough of David being omnipotent.
The only person that has to be there is the doctor. That's it. Let's please. I need to
be
happy.
You know what we missed?
What?
Talk about, I think Annie's doctor is hot. Where is he? Why haven't they brought him back?
You're not talking about Bucktooth Boogerface?
No, I'm talking about Annie's doctor, the male doctor that she got.
Oh.
The male doctor. He was hot.
Wasn't on this week.
Where? Why wasn't he on? And nothing. I did not like, we didn't discuss this the week before, about Annie and Adam having sex in the hospital. That was stupid.
They had sex?
They had sex in the hospital. In the hospital.
What show am I watching?
How are you having sex with somebody who isn't even like of 100% capacity?
Why can't you make me happy? Why can't you talk about One Life to Live?
All right, fine. Let's talk about One Life to Live. First of all, I'm going
to... Hold on. This is your warning. For those of you all that don't listen to One Life to Live, you're going to, you know, the next 10 minutes at least are going to be on One Life to Live.
Next week.
We'll see you next week. We love you. You can tune in if you want. You can fast forward to the ending credits, but...
I'm going
to
start off by saying stop the Stacey Marasco hating. And I'm going to explain why. Because first of all, I have faith. Unlike Chuck Pratt, I have faith in Ron C. And I know that Ron C. does not do something without some thought to it. So I know that he has something planned with this storyline. I think that Crystal Hunt's doing a great job. I don't think she's dead behind the eyes. Is she going to be doing Madea on Broadway anytime soon? No. But as a soap vixen, she's perfectly fine, and I'm loving her. I'm loving the character. I'm loving the fact that the character is a biatch to no end, and I'm loving that she's doing it. I think what everybody's not watching is they're not reading between the lines. And the fact is that it's not just about Rex. Obviously, she hates her sister. She has issues with her sister. She says when they're arguing, oh, mom and dad always favor you. Always. Obviously, this is going more to sisterly rival. Rex is just like a... the final straw or catalyst or whatever. But there was also, me and Ashley disagreed on this, but I also noticed in scenes where she had with her ex, Mr. J, what is his name? Skyler. When he was going on that he was going to go get tested for like Shane to see if he was could be a donor, and he was saying, but like, who wouldn't want to get tested? She had this like look of remorse or like this thought, like realizing that there's, you. I know you don't agree with me, but I saw that. There was a hesitation in her.
I love
the fact that Vicky, when talking
to
Charlie...
You also think January Jones from Mad Men is a good actress.
I'm not the only one who thinks she's a... You're like in the minority there that
Hell
don't like
no.
her.
Dead
anyway,
behind the eyes.
I also like the fact that when Gigi was telling Vicky
Can
and Charlie...
Can I get my contrary opinion on that? That's not fair.
When I finish. When Vicky was telling... Gigi was telling Vicky and Charlie about her issues with Stacey... And after she left, Vicky was like, I understand what she's going through. And Vicky made a comparison between her
and Stacey and Gigi.
And that's what I think Ron C is going for. We need a soap bitch like this. I'm loving me some Stacey.
I am loving me some Stacey, but I wholeheartedly disagree with Jordan's deep interpretation of a very simple scene. When Skyler told Stacey that he was going to the hospital to get tested, it was not a look of... What did you say it was a look of?
No, I'm saying that there was a flash that she realized that she is... Like, there's something wrong with her. Like,
BS.
She
realized, no, BS. The flash was, people, all of you that have seen the scene that watch One Life to Live, the flash was a very quick flash of like, if he's a donor, my plans are screwed. Yes. Crazy. She's pissed off. She didn't want him to go. And he's like, what do you... And he knew that. He said that to her. He said as much. He said, what do you want? Don't you want Shane to be healthy or whatever?
All I know,
and she didn't want that to happen because she doesn't want him to be a match. She doesn't want anybody to be a match. She's got the match.
Stacy was hot with Roxy. Those fight scenes were great. I'm loving me some Stacy. I hate Gigi. Gigi needs to eat a hamburger. She's getting way too thin.
Did you notice that Gigi had time to dye her hair?
She's looking like lips on a
whilst
stick.
Whilst her son is going through chemo and all that stuff. She came in with much blonder hair at the end of the week.
I know.
Very.
But look, she's beginning to look like lips on a stick.
Lips on a stick.
That's my new name for GJ. Like lips on a stick.
She's Lisa Rinna. Queen Lisa Rinna.
And I don't know about you, but Rex looks like a man. Oh, God, he looks like a man
guys,
now.
Guys, he shaved off his head for his son. Which I don't understand why they gave little Shane a bald wig.
But see, they did a good job last week because both me and you were wondering. And now we know that it was a bald
this
cap.
This week you could see every time he crinkled Brody, his face, the little bald cap would slip up.
In his scene with Brody, you could see that it was fake. But still, it doesn't take a fact from the fact that both him and Brody were great in those scenes. I was totally touched by those scenes between Brody and Shane. They were excellent. Nora was smoking this week. I don't know what you thought about Nora. I mean, Hillary Bailey Smith, like...
Oh, I want to say one thing. Kat agrees with us. One of our bloggers, Kat, agrees with us about Stacey. Because she said to you in an email, she said, I am seeing and hearing so much negative feedback on Crystal Hunt Stacey. Personally, I like her. I think she's rocking it and viewers are hating on her character and not realizing it. I think she's right.
Yeah, you gotta have the conflict. You gotta have that
character
that you love to hate.
That actress is a solid actress.
I love the character. I think Stacey's a breath of fresh air. I love her. We need a backup. And again, she's not somebody who is being pushed around or being a victim. She's the one who's in control. She's manipulating everybody, and I love it. I love her scenes with Skylar. I love the fact that she was able to manipulate Skylar the way she did. I mean, Skylar is like, Skylar, wake up. But Nora and Taya were amazing together. Todd and Nora, there was this quick scene.
Are you talking about the scene in the courtroom?
I'm talking about the scene where Taya went to tell Nora that she was going to be defending Cole.
Oh, yeah.
And it was such a powerful scene. And, of course, Nora did not, like, believe her. And at one point, you could see that Taya was not doing her little manipulation. She was being really sincere. And she went to touch Nora. And Nora did this thing where she, like, literally just...
Loved it.
Jumped back and, like, tightened up. And it was amazing acting. And another favorite scene was when it was a quick scene where Todd bumps into Nora in the hallway of the courtroom. It was like 2 seconds. And he just looks at her. And typical Todd, he was just like, sorry about your kid. I kept walking and Nora had this look like, what the fuck was that about?
But for those of you
it was great.
But for those of you who think that we're all lovey-dovey over One Life to Live, I got two issues with One Life to Live storylines.
I have two issues with One Life to Live too.
My first issue is with Gigi's response to Stacey. I don't understand. I know that you would not have a storyline if Gigi didn't go along with Stacey's blackmail to dump Rex. I get that. But realistically, they have such a quote-unquote solid relationship on the show that there's no reason why Gigi wouldn't confide in Rex Stacey's blackmail and have them both fake it just to get the damn, you know, whatever.
I agree with you on that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's always a question in my mind when writers are writing something like, why can't you just do the logistic thing and say, like, let's manipulate the bad guy. Let's say that we're going to do this and fake it.
Makes no sense.
There's some soap operas who've done that in the past, and they've tried that. That's been an interesting twist
more
in
realistic.
The storyline.
Well,
go ahead. What's your other one?
My other one is Todd and Taya. Because I think Taya is doing a beautiful job of trying to play the scenes between Todd so that you see that she kind of loves him or whatever. But there is not a glimmer. Like when Taya was, I saw some of the YouTube, I didn't watch them, but I watched some of your YouTube clips you sent me with Todd and Taya. There was such a chemistry there. There was such a playfulness there between the two of them. Even if Todd, played by Roger Howard, couldn't really, you know, openly accept or love Taya, you know, or make love to her, which was fantastic. There was something there between the two. There's nothing between this Todd and Taya. She's making it all up on her side, and he's not responding to it at all. I don't think he cares if she lives or dies.
Yeah, and
I think the actor, Trevor St. John, I'm going to harsh on you. I think you needed to make a choice as an actor. You clearly didn't do that.
I know. Well, I got to say, I mean, I can't believe, because Ron C. was working under Claire Levine during those years. So Ron C. knows the power of Todd and
he
Taya.
He wrote it, though. He wrote it. This is my point. My point is that Ron C. is such a good writer. He doesn't write obvious crap to me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's on Trevor St. John.
It's on Trevor St. John to reinterpret the material to understand the moments of connection that he could have with Taya.
Well, it's not even that. He has to understand that he has connection with Taya.
Yes, yes.
Taya is one of the loves of Todd's life.
Absolutely.
And I do agree with them that he's missing it. My thing, Ron C., and I'm seeing, and guys, we're picking on One Night to Live right now.
There you go. It ain't perfect.
My big thing with you, Ron C., right now, is that I hate the fact that you're being lazy and just throwing the two people that don't have nobody together. Because, firstly, I think that you guys should get rid of the Vega brothers altogether.
Who are you throwing together?
Layla and, what's his name?
Christian.
And I don't like that for a lot of reasons. First of all, I don't like it because I don't think David Fumero is an actor. He's a model who doesn't even look that good anymore.
I disagree.
I don't think he's that great. I think the time of the Vega brothers should go. And I think
you got a thing with them. They're both solid actors.
I will give you that Kamar is okay. I will not give you the David Fumero's an actor.
They are both solid actors.
I know way too many Latin actors in New York City that are phenomenal actors. They can find some hot Latin actors that can act.
Think about some of the actors on All My Children. Think about that. Think about Adam. Think about some of
those
guys.
They've only had one Latin actor, Mark Consuelos.
Mark Consuelos got replaced, he got replaced by such a dud, I was throwing up.
Tito, poor little Kirk Caceres.
He was horrible.
He was on the first episode of Dollhouse.
Horrible!
Anyway, getting back to One Night to Live, I think what they need to do is get rid of the Vega brothers, and you know what they need to do? They need to sign Florencia for a freaking 12-year contract and bring on her family.
She's too talented.
They already established that Taya has a bunch of brothers and sisters. We were introduced to one brother who was played by this local New York Latin actor who at the time was really like known in the circuits. Not the most good-looking guy, but he could act. And they've introduced Taya's niece. So I think they should concentrate on developing a new Latin family, the Delgados. Anyway, I love Taya's scenes with Vicky. Brilliant work. Brody and Jess, how hot and intense was Brody and Jess?
Yeah, I can't take it. So
Brody and Jess are like the hottest thing. Let me just say something. I wouldn't mind a whole episode of Brody just working out. I'd be fine with that.
Can I tell you something?
That episode where he was working out while he was talking to the doctor,
I
like that.
Can I tell you something? That was my other thing.
What?
I loved it so much. You have a patient, a mental patient, who's just been in a mental hospital, calling his doctor, and the doctor feels realistic. And the doctor takes his call, and he talks to him about his conflict because he really like he loves this girl. He leaves out conveniently that it's Jessica, who is also the doctor's patient. But I just love the idea that he called him, and they had a simple, lovely conversation about what he should do.
Yeah.
Would you ever see a moment like that?
And I love the fact that he was like shirtless through that. That was no, it was good. It was great.
Carlos got mad at me.
Why?
Because I was like, yeah, I was watching and he was in the room and he got so mad.
His body is out of control. That is a body and a half. All right. Star. Emmy. If Kristen, she has never gotten an Emmy, she needs to get an Emmy. I mean, she was brilliant this week.
Would she be a young performer at Emmy?
She's still young. She's okay. 17. But like the thing that I love about her, I don't know if you noticed the scenes. I love the scenes with her and Langston where they were arguing about Mr. J.
Yeah.
Because you were able to see this is an actress. As much as her character was saying to Langston that she loves Jay, and you could see that she still loves Cole. And that Jay is just an excuse. And that was an actress making the choice. There was this registration that she, you could see in her face that she was registering that what Langston was saying was true, but she was still being a teenager saying, no, I do, there is a connection. Where you could see honestly in her face that there is no connection. She loves Cole and she wants to be with Cole. It was brilliant. Cole was amazing in those scenes where he was confessing to the judge that he did not deserve this break and he screwed up.
That he hurt his friend and made a bad choice.
Emmy, that was Emmy award winning material. Heartbreaking. Those tears were pouring out of his face.
He couldn't even
help it. Not like those fake tears that Kobe had. Did you see Kobe with her fake tears?
Why do we have to ruin this? We're talking about One Night to Live.
Because they shot like water in her eyes. So horrible. John and Blair.
Oh, loved it.
Oh, my God. John and Blair were out of control. Out of control this week, darn it. First of all, tell them what you told me yesterday
Blair
about Blair.
When Blair woke up this week, she looked so haggard. She had a little bit of makeup on, not much, and looked so haggard. She had wrinkles under her eyes and black lines, and her hair was all messed up, like her blonde, you know, hair was all messed up, bedhead. And he came in and he looked at her, and I just loved it because you don't see older actresses showing their age on the soaps anymore. And that was real. That was just realistic. It just felt really good to see a real woman waking up from what might look like how she might look.
Yeah.
You know, she was really in a coma.
It was some good work.
And the connection between John and her after that was amazing.
I never liked
him. And the end of the week blew me away.
I
didn't see that coming. I didn't know that happened.
What?
That they got married.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, I kind of had a feeling that's what they were going with. I kind of had a feeling that's where they were going with it.
Because Todd's waiting for custody.
Yeah,
of the
it
kids.
Was played beautifully. We talked about Shane and Brody. Nora and Bo. I mean, if anything, if ever you wanted a couple to get back together, I want Nora and Bo to get back together. I used to love Nora and Bo, and they still have it. Those scenes with them dealing with Matthew.
Destiny!
Oh, how great was it that Destiny Sean's younger sister? I was living for that scene.
I love it.
Oh, see, that's how you make these people connected to the show. That's how you keep people on the show. You don't
I have
them...
a question. What? Who's Sean?
That's the bodyguard, Dorian's bodyguard.
Oh, yes. That's right. The goon.
The goon.
I love him.
And when Nora was talking to Bo about Destiny, and she's like, yeah, he was up in her grill. And Bo looked at her, and she's like, that's what the kids say. That was brilliant. That was cute. That was humorous. I loved it.
You didn't talk about the sexiest couple of the week.
I'm getting to that.
Ah.
Thursday rocked with Bo, Matthew, Cole, and Nora. We said that. But for me, one of the hottest things this week was showing that you don't matter how old you are, if you're hot, you're hot. And hot was Dorian and A. Martinez's Ray this Ray. Friday on episode. Not only were those scenes well written and cute and playful, but let me tell you something. When he told her at the end, this is what I do, and he kissed her, I was like, I want to know what you do too. Do that to me. I was hot.
There were a lot of people that harsh on his accent, and
I don't
understand
know why
that
you're
for
harsh
a
in
second.
Accent.
We are Puerto Ricans here.
Yes,
that's a legitimate good accent.
He's Colombian.
He's
was
playing
raised,
a Colombian
who
from
was
Colombia.
Born and raised in Colombia. He has to have an accent. It wasn't like he was born. His characters like been established that
Fantastic.
He's Colombian.
I love
but
him.
Let me tell you, they were hot.
So hot. I loved it so much. I was screaming.
They were hot. And I've been saying this. This is going to be one hot triangle when David Vickers comes back.
So. All right, people. Well, there is no excuse for talking for 82 hours.
But we didn't. We talked about it for like 12 hours. And talked about like everything else for like 60,000.
So we're going to cut. We're going to quit while we're ahead. If you want to write us, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Send your questions there. We love getting your questions. A little easier for us to manage them. Send them there, and we'll try to answer your questions.
You have questions?
Yes. They always have questions. They're so good. We have such a great audience. You can also go to our blog site, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Link over to the blog site and leave your astute comments and opinions. We love reading them. We love sharing them. We have a great community. We also have some very good friends over at daytimeconfidential.com. Listen to them if you need.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Jamie. He has a crush on Luke. If we do not cover your particular show, they will cover it and more. So go there. If you want spoilers, we are spoiler free here, people. We don't do it. We leave that to the professionals. The professionals are Super Poster. Go to www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear, or you can go to his spoiler page, which is also on daytimeconfidential.com. He has great spoilers. I don't know how the hell this man gets his information, but he gets them. We also have a Facebook page. You can become a fan of the Pine Valley Podcast. And you could befriend me, Ashley Mendoza. Just look me up. I'm there. You know what I'm saying? You'll find me on PVP.
She's the one with the big door knocking earrings.
Door knocking earrings. So
Super Poster, you're not Chuck Pratt, are you? I just had a horrible thought. Oh, my God.
Why would you think that?
I don't know, because he gets such good scoops.
He gets great scoops.
No, but he couldn't be Chuck Pratt. Super Poster has been around for a while.
Well, first of all, he couldn't be Chuck Pratt, too, because he criticizes some of the scoops.
Maybe he's...
Which he's very... With his astute comments.
Maybe he's the son of Agnes Nixon.
It could be. We love you. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Hey. Hey, little kid. Psst. Yo, little boy, I'm your daddy.
Hey, there you are, Jess. Hi. See Andy yet?
No, that's it.
Huh?
Nelson, look, It's my boy.
What?
That's, can you imagine that? That's my own little son.
You're kidding. Oh, hey. Jesse. He's beautiful. Hey. He's beautiful.
He's looking at me. Yo, this is my best buddy. This is Greg Nelson. Say hello to Greg Nelson.
Hey, you.
Right?
How do you know he's yours?
He's real cute. Yo, little baby.
What about Angie?
She's still in the room, man. I gotta wait for the people to clear out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he's beautiful, Jess. He's just beautiful.
Hubbard, what are you doing here?
You know, you sure got a hell of a lot of nerve asking me that.
Just what is it you want?
You know, good and damn well I came to see my son, Baxter.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you trying to say that's not my son in there?
Who told you that?
Never mind. Is that Angie's baby or not?
Take it easy, Jess.
Look, man, you lower than I thought you was, you know. I mean, trying to keep me from finding out I've got a son?
You cause a disturbance and I'll have the security guards throw you out of here.
Yo, man, you call your daddy. I don't care. I ain't leaving nowhere until I talk to Angela.
Look, I forbid you to go near her.
You can't forbid nothing. And she owes me an explanation.
And just leave her alone. Haven't you caused her enough misery?
Leave her alone, nothing, man. I gotta find out what she's gonna do with my baby.
That's none of your business.
That is my business, man. That's my flesh and blood in there. I got rights.
You don't have a right in the world. Now just get out of here.
So what's she trying to do? Give it up for adoption?
Maybe you should let him see Angie.
Yo, who are you?
I'm a friend of the family.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see Angie whether you let me or not.
All right. You can see her. She's in room 513. But just do me a favor and don't upset her.
Just shut up and get out of here.